Greetings, pals.
Greetings, pals.
Greetings, pal. No, Jack is really hard to do. I actually...
That's not bad.
I embarrassingly spent a little bit of today
greetings,
trying to get
pals.
A Jack.
Was
but
that
it's
right?
Like, no, that was a little too...
I'm Frank.
I'm Marcus.
I'm Tom.
And this is Throwing the Pow. Love it or hate it, we debate it. It being movies.
Do you have a good Jack Nicholson, Frank?
Ah, Jackie.
Yeah, no. I mean, again, it's kind of approaching it, right? It's like, yeah, I'm Jack.
Oh, I wear sunglasses.
Jack Nicholson.
Anyway, today.
I didn't ask.
Today. No, today.
It. Okay.
Today,
I didn't ask.
Talking that's about good. The Batman.
Nope.
Just Batman.
Just Batman.
But I'm sure he'll come up.
No, he will.
Like, we'll probably
we're talking about
him.
Batman 89.
Oh, yeah. Directed Batman by Tim 89. Burton, starring Michael Keaton and Jackie Jack.
Yeah.
And let's get nuts.
You want to get nuts?
Let's get nuts.
That comes out of nowhere, hey.
Let's talk about that.
I watched this movie today, 4K Blu-ray surround sound.
Hey. When was the last time you watched it, pal?
I've never seen it before.
Fuck right off.
This is my first time watching.
Hold on.
That's interesting.
Really?
For real.
That's not that weird when you know that Frank is not a Burton guy. And we might cover that.
I can't carry that burden.
No.
What?
Tim Burton.
Why do you have to go? Why does it have to be a follow-up on someone else's joke?
I want to because...
Because you thought mine was bad. You're like, I can do it better.
Now I'm the bad guy.
Yes, you are.
Now
you're
the
bad
guy. Now I'm the Batman.
All right. We rate these films out of 11.
Why, Tom?
I can't remember for this one.
Tom.
No, I had it, but I forgot it just as we sat down. Can I come back to it?
Because Michael Keaton definitely killed 11 or more guys in this film.
Oh, he's gunning them down.
Oh,
gunning them
down. I remembered it. That's a good one, though. He does kill a lot of people.
I was going to say again, he's just one-upping.
It's 11 seconds before you see his Nikes.
Ooh. Oh, that's an interesting one.
Is that a good one.
You counted?
One.
Doesn't matter. It makes just two. As much sense as the rest of your
I want to see him prove that he can do it. Mine was that if Batman had made a list of rules for Alfred and say he spent a day doing it and he's like, I'm going to make it around 10. So he remembers them. I think at the 11th, he got to the one that's like, don't bring random people into the Batcave. And then he was like, I don't need to make that one. That's why would he ever break that rule? That's obviously so simple.
Yeah.
So that would have been the 11th rule that he didn't tell Alfred. And I don't know if you guys remember in this film.
Oh, this is the stupidest 11.
But there is a scene in this movie.
Marcus and I just did two pretty good ones.
Pretty good
just
ones.
Off the cuff.
Where Alfred brings Vicky Vale? Is that her
Vicky
name?
Vale.
Into the Batcave.
Yeah.
But what's the weirdest thing about that scene to you, Marcus? Besides the fact that Alfred does that.
I have a lot wrong on that scene, so I don't know.
The fact that she doesn't acknowledge that they're in the Batcave, she walks up to Michael Keaton, she's like, about the fact that we had sex and you never called. And it's like, lady, where are you right now?
Do you not have more questions
than
that?
Do you not get what's that? So he's kind of like, I can't believe Alfred brought this girl. And then he's like, she seems to have not noticed, actually. This kind of, I might get away with this.
Might be good.
Would it be crazy at the end of the movie if she's like, wait, you're Batman?
Wait,
like,
but she's been in the Batcave before, but then with Batman. And then Batman knocks her out.
Yes, but she wasn't in there with him. So with she'd be like, so you're Batman. They never have a scene.
I know. They never go.
Or a moment where it's like,
they try.
I'm acknowledging that you're Batman.
He tries very hard, but he gets nervous.
What the fuck are we doing?
I'm Batman.
So okay. Shout your name if you like this film.
Oh, my God.
Well, Tom.
Shout your name if you like this film.
This is going to be weird. I don't like this at all. The vibes are off
good.
For this episode.
Good.
I said coming in I was going to be really nice.
Yeah. Just fucking come in
the
and
vibes
talk about-
were off with your shit 11 and it's only
you,
going downhill.
You messed this up, Tom.
Okay. Tom?
Jacques. I want to say, and I do this when I don't like a film, the thing I love about it, Michael Keaton, man. Holy crap, is he so good. Yeah, give me some numbers. I'm right on the line. 5.4.
5.
Oh.
8.
Oh.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm surprised at how much I liked it this time.
I'm surprised at how much I disliked it.
Yeah. Yeah, same. Same, because first half, so good. Michael Keaton, so good. So iconic. Says, I'm Batman in the first couple of minutes. He's cool. It looks pretty good.
It looks amazing.
It looks pretty good.
It looks so good.
Fucking good.
And yeah. We'll talk about this in a bit, but I don't like Tim Burton's style. Yeah. I was thinking of a song earlier today. I'll sing it later.
okay.
It's going to be good, yeah. I promise. But this looks great. This looks better than the Joel Schumacher Batmans.
Yes.
It almost looks better than the end of Batman Begins, which I think is hideous, where they go over the thing and...
We have to get into the Gotham of this in a minute.
We'll do.
I'm kind of with you on some level there.
Yeah, it looks great. That's all I'll say. Michael Keaton's fantastic. I think his Bruce Wayne is so fantastic.
Are you telling me just by exclusion that Jack Nicholson doesn't work for you in this film?
It's not what I said.
Go on then. How do you feel about Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson is so good until an hour and a half in.
What happens an hour and a half in?
Nothing. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. He doesn't do anything. The Joker is so crap in this. Oh.
Tom.
He doesn't do anything. He has no plan. He's not trying to... He's like, I just don't like Batman because he's getting all the press. I found it really teethless.
I like
toothless.
Toothless. I like that it's...
No teeth inside.
Vain. His vanity is what drives him in this.
But why is he vain? Since when, like that one scene in the mirror when
Prince of Darkness, like it doesn't need a reason, but like
no, he's not.
Everything he's doing. Okay, you have something to say here, Marcus.
I've got plenty to say, but I'm going to let you two. I'll let you two get the long-winded
Marcus
shit out of the way, and I'll go
loading a Smith & Wesson with a single bullet right now. He's ready.
I'm ready to
one run. Kill, one shot, Deer Hunter style.
I thought Jack Nicholson was so the scene that I thought was fantastic is when he comes out of the surgeon and he rips off his bandages. He sees in the mirror what he sees, and then he smashes the mirror. We don't get to see it. Then he smashes the light bulb on his way out, and then he laughs maniacally, which is obviously classic Joker, very The Killing Joke.
That's not bad.
That's a great scene.
That's not bad.
The laugh is great. The descent, the immediate descent into madness, fantastic.
The laugh's fine until it's all the time. All the time.
But he's the Joker.
Nope.
He likes to laugh.
This is not the Joker.
You could say that.
I would never in a million years have thought we'd come into this episode and your guy's problem would be Jack Nicholson.
It's not. It's one of many.
I think he is easily, apart maybe from the art direction in the film, the most successful thing about it.
The art direction of the film and visually is... easily the greatest thing of this.
It probably is. Yes, I think you're right. But Jack Nicholson's a close second.
And I can see why you, Frank, wouldn't like Tim Burton and the style and the Tim Burton-esque of this. I think there's more to it than that. I think that you can see Tim Burton coming through in this. I think that the art director of this has done a lot of the legwork with a vision.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to know how much of it is Tim Burton, how much of it is
his I think
team.
It's, like, it's a Tim Burton idea with a guy executing
it. Doesn't feel very Tim Burton.
This is the thing we talked about with Fifth Element a few weeks ago, where it's like if we just kind of subscribe to the idea that especially in like an auteurist world with directors, especially big budget directors, we kind of have to put it at the feet of the director unless there are real like credible sources otherwise that are like, no, we had to fight for this. The director didn't want it. I think this is Tim Burton's vision. I think this is what he wanted it to look. No,
but it is him in charge of at least the art director, I would argue.
Yeah, I think he would have gone. I mean, he was an animator, he was an illustrator, he was a visual guy, Burton. Like, he had a very strong visual sense before he became a filmmaker. And I do see a through line from Beetlejuice to this, to Edward Scissorhands, to Ed Wood, to, you know, even Mars Attacks and Sleepy Hollow and stuff like that. Like, I think there's a pretty clear... And then the stop motion stuff, even though, no, he didn't direct Nightmare Before Christmas. It was his idea, right? It was his characters. And I see that connection from this movie to those. This is a little bit more fluoro or a little bit more, like, almost grimy neon than those.
Yeah.
Like, there's something more... I just love so much of how this film looks. And it was... You saw it in 4K?
Oh, yeah.
I saw what I would say if it wasn't a 4K restoration, it was very crisp.
At least three.
At Nova a few days ago. I saw it on the big screen. First time I've ever seen it on the big screen. And I went in thinking, I don't know if I like this movie. I like this movie. This movie looks so good. It's so much fun.
Looks great.
I'm into it. I'm into this film. And I didn't think I was going to be. I didn't think I was going to be the one here saying, no, this is good, actually. And you guys were going to be like, eh. Not so much. Joker could take or leave him. Marcus, you've got to get into it with Joker. You've got something to say.
I love Batman. I always have, always will. And I grew up watching this film and I knew it back to front. Still do. I rewatched it over Christmas just gone and felt really empty inside. I felt tired and I wanted to go to sleep. I was uninterested. I was bored by it. And I started to pick it apart to a point where I was sad with myself for doing it.
Oh, no.
I find that Michael Keaton. Now, now, hold on.
I am sad
that I feel that
the
this
fact
is a five.
That it was at Christmas as well. No, like everything about that story.
Oh my god, my favorite time ever. Of year.
the source material from Bob Kane's work was just not really taken into account here. So this is a sign of the times. So this is 89. This is one of the first real superhero IPs that's getting launched. So I think in terms of its legacy, this is monumental.
Absolutely.
I can't argue what this has created and what has moved forward from this point, right?
It's hard to overstate how big this film was.
And at the time, huge.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. And then visually, of course, I don't know about ahead of its time necessarily, but this was big.
It was definitely a swing the other way from anything else they had seen. Like I was born in 89.
Yeah.
So it was so serious in a way that had not been done before. You know, Batman, all we'd known is Adam West, very camp, blue suit essentially, you know what I mean? Now it's dark.
And say what you want about that stuff. I'm not really into the Adam West stuff and I've tried to go back and have a look at it and it's like you can appreciate it for what it was.
Holy cannoli, Batman!
It's kind of funny to look at. It's just so silly.
What does he have? His anti-shark?
Shark repellent spray.
Yeah.
What don't you have in that utility belt?
And that's fine, but that's also a huge swing and whatever. I think that Burton had the idea here. He went with his Burton way of doing it and that's fine, but I think when you've got the likes of a stacked cast of Nicholson and Keaton at the time who are huge stars.
Jack Nicholson, first credit. Like, as in, he's credited first over Michael Keaton.
He also was nominated for Best Actor at the Golden Globes, which is correct. He is not supporting. He is, I would say they are dual leads.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
That is,
Michael Keaton is not, I say what you want, but he's not right as Bruce Wayne and he's not right as Batman.
I don't think that's true. I disagree on that one.
I just don't think he understood the assignment. I think that he brought a lot of Keaton-isms to it. I love Michael Keaton, so please don't think this is a slight. I just don't think he was right. I don't like the Batman, the costuming behind it and the turn of the head, the very lumbered way he fights.
Yes.
There's nothing right about this Batman. He's not intimidating to me, other than visually when standing still or hiding in the shadows. Do you get any sort of intimidation factor from the Batman or the story around him that the villains have all heard?
Yeah.
The myth of Batman. As soon as he's in the picture, if I was a goon, I'd be like, wait, what? Okay.
He looks silly, I think, in retrospect. And it's been not tarnished but a little sullied by there's no way of getting out from under the Nolan Batman movies and how much they made Batman into like a horrifying, like, you know, when he's threatening
and
people.
And so powerful.
He's frightening in the first movie and a couple of the other ones, and he's so violent and he's so like brutish.
Mm.
And in this, I mean, what's Batman? What's his tagline? He's the world's greatest
detective.
And in this, he's more of a detective. It's true, no movie has ever done that correct. Even the Robert Pattinson one where he's a detective, but we're all like 10 steps ahead of him in that movie the whole time. So it's like...
his early days, he'll figure it out.
He's doing his best.
I get it.
But I think in this one, it's like he has a bit more of a like intellectual bent to him. He has a bit more of a, I'm a caped crusader who does what's necessary, but, you know, my job is not to frighten people. My job is to bring some sort of correction, if possible. But I agree, it's more 80s. It's a bit goofier.
It's a bit less. It's hard to know what it felt like when it came out because
people thought this was dark. People like dark, too much.
Yeah,
which is crazy to think.
I get that for the time, with the lens of the time. I get that.
Yeah,
I'm not sitting here comparing Nolan's trilogy, which is incredible, by the way. Flawed.
The whole trilogy? Okay, just checking.
Oh, yeah. But
because there's a third,
I'm not sitting here doing that. And although I love Christian Bale's version of Batman, it's not my favorite Batman. I think there's a better version of Bruce Wayne there somewhere. There's a better version of Batman there somewhere.
Yours famously is Ben Affleck.
I think there's something
excellent about him,
man. Because this is such a silly point to make, but the jawline is so important because with Batman, that's all you get, right?
Mm.
And without the right jawline, which is not Michael Keaton, by the way, you already don't get a strong, built, intimidating Dark Knight, protector of the city, who his outside of being a detective, his entire thing is through fear because he doesn't have superpowers. He's a rich playboy with, you know,
some gadgets,
some and a trauma,
big old brain,
and a big old brain.
His superpower is trauma. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
It is.
Yeah, it is trauma. And so Michael Keaton, God bless his soul. I love the boy. Just wasn't right. Now, Nicholson.
I love you, lad.
Nicholson is Jack Napier through and through. He's not the Joker.
Yeah.
He was given too much freedom, I think, in this role and takes it too far. Now, there's some moments here where it almost works or, like, at times it really does work. Mm. In the art gallery where he does the do I look like I'm joking, that stuff, I'm getting a version of him and I'm like, yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
And then
her response,
then Prince starts playing.
Prince is such an interesting part of this. And I'm sure Frank will get that. Her response, Kim Basinger, when he says that, do I look like I'm joking? And she kind of goes like, Yeah, that makes that line where she's like, what do you want me to say, man? Like
they build Vicky Vale as this dirty, grounded sort of war photographer almost. Like she can get right in the shit and get the, you know, the good stuff. She ends up being like at the end of the film, she basically pretends to give the Joker a gobby just to distract him from Batman, who's awkwardly sidling into the scene, and it, just nothing flows. Everything's so robotic and uncomfortable to watch now in 2024 when I watched it.
Of all the things Australians have brought to culture, do you think gobby's going to be one of the biggest legacies?
Look, just let me throw the word in there. I don't think I've ever used it.
We've got to get gobby out.
Legacy.
I think she is so well cast as, because I think these characters are shallow. I'm not going to argue with you guys that these are deep characters. Mm. They are comic book characters rendered in a way that I think is intentionally two-dimensional, that has a flourish to it and an aesthetic charm, but nothing particularly like dimensional, right? And yet they look perfect for the role. You and I agree, Frank,
I love Michael Keaton. Yeah.
I think he's perfect. I think he looks exactly the way I expect a playboy in 1980 who's secretly a Cape Crusader to look. Jack Nicholson looks terrifyingly funny and gonzo and insane. And Kim Basinger, I'm like, absolutely glorious wartime photographer. Makes no fucking sense. I love it. Like, looks exactly how I think a character called Vicky Vale should look.
But have a look at how they moved. Now, I'm not saying these films are right because they obviously stuffed them up as they went further forward. When they got rid of Keaton, they went with Clooney. They went with
Kilmer. And then
look at the guys. That to me is far more within the brief,
but poorly
executed. Yeah. Right? I think that nostalgia really drives this shit. It really does. I think people have such a nostalgic cloud around Keaton and this Batman, which is fine. I'm not shooting people down in flames for that. I get it. But watching this back now, it's very dated. It didn't work for me. I love 80s films. This is not a version of Batman that I really buy into because it's not the Gotham and the characters that I want, and they're not very well thought out. And as you said, very shallow.
They are.
I think the thing I love about Keaton as Batman, I think he's fantastic. I just think it's straight down the line. That's where he's comfortable. And I think his confidence in the way he, when he's got the cowl on and he is just there and he's ready to go, I think it's fantastic. But him as Bruce Wayne, I think, is so, you know, Christian Bale is my Batman, right? Like, that's what the first one I saw as like a young adult. But to see this version of Bruce Wayne, who's distracted and sleeping upside down like a bat and just a bit of a kook.
It's silly.
But then he wakes up on the couch, so he's just doing some exercise.
The most Bruce Wayne he gets is in the scene where we first see him. In his mansion during
the armory
party.
Scene.
In the armory scene.
Yeah.
That whole bit is fantastic. I think
that's close.
Alfred's following him around, so there's a bit of comedy where he's picking up after him. But he's focused on other things. He's not thinking about being Bruce Wayne. He's got no idea what he's doing, but he's so distracted.
Yeah. Mm.
And I love it.
It's from Japan. How do you know? Because I bought it in Japan. Like, that's he's just got a very unassuming, it's not quite
that's
deadpan.
Good though. Yeah.
It's, I think that carries through. I think there's one moment in the film that I think has its place, and we talked about this, or you already brought it up, that makes no sense, but I get why on a character level or on a plot level is, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts, which does come out of absolutely nowhere. And you're like, Bruce Wayne would never do that.
I hate it so much.
But he's trying to get shot, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to provoke the Joker to shoot him in that specific way. And I do kind of go, wow, I forgot that was so big. I forgot how far he took that.
And that's the line they pull into the Flash remake. Like, this is the Keaton you remember? Let's do the let's get nuts line again.
It seems to have the biggest legacy for a lot of people. And I think it's because it's so jarring.
It just stands out.
It feels like the guy who just came off Beetlejuice, because this is after Beetlejuice, saying to Tim Burton, the same director, you got to give me something, man. Let me do one thing. And he's like, all right.
Because Michael Keaton is a kook. He's such a unique dude.
Maybe that's why I love this performance, because he's really, I prefer restrained Keaton. And I don't think he's often celebrated for that as much as he should be. I think he's wonderful in this. I think he's wonderful in Spotlight.
Yeah.
I think
so good in Spotlight. He's, again, I spoke about it recently, Dope Sick.
Yeah.
You have to watch him in Dope Sick.
I should.
What's Founder?
Founder is
very good in Founder.
I haven't seen that, but I've heard he's good in that. Good. I think he's really good in Trial of the Chicago 7, which he's only in for like 10 minutes, and he's playing a really stripped back, very stoic character.
He can do it, and I agree.
He can do any. I think he can do so much.
And I think he's good in Birdman, but I'm like, yeah, this is someone letting you off the leash a little.
But I think that the problem with this is that the casting of this time was not with the Batman source material at heart. I think this is off the back of Beetlejuice, and it's the Tim Burton relationship there.
But who are you going to get in 89 that's going to be as big as...
Well, you're putting me on the spot, but I have a feeling I could find someone better.
But you know what I mean? It's like you need someone who can play both.
Yep.
And like there's bodybuilding didn't exist, so you're not going to get a Hemsworth or a whatever. You've got like Stallone and Arnie, maybe.
At the time, for what you want, and by the way, people didn't like that Michael Keaton was cast for this.
Not at all.
When he was cast, people were like...
Mr. Mum.
Like, Mr. Mum and Beetlejuice. Like, that kind of goofy guy who's a bit weedy.
Yeah.
And he looks like he could be like a matinee idol, or he could be like a rom-com lead.
Yes. I mean, or he could be Billy Joel.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. But, like...
Thank you.
Is he gonna... I truly have never made that connection. So much of the time, he looks so much like Billy Joel. That's really remarkable. I mean, I guess you would almost go kind of Bruce Willis, which I know isn't great Batman casting, but for what you're talking about with the...
An actual action player.
And the more gruff and the scarier and the more physically imposing Batman, it's Bruce Willis. Or maybe it's Kurt Russell even, but then even Kurt Russell was kind of...
He's too nice.
And was kind of getting into his own goofy era at this point as well. But maybe pre that, it would have been an interesting thing. But... Michael Keaton could have had a career like Tom Hanks without this movie. Like, you look at him in this film and you're like, that guy could have been in Sleepless in Seattle. That guy could have been in Philadelphia. He could have had that America's, like, boyfriend,
boy next
sweetheart
door.
But this
leading
is it.
Into
at
America's
this point,
dad role.
Why not just give Tom Hanks the role? Like, that, to me, would have made just as much sense.
Yeah, no.
See,
because Keaton has that versatility. Keaton has that power and that darkness. You know, like, he has that – there's something in him that's crazy.
Sure.
And that's fantastic. Tom Hanks doesn't have that.
Sure.
I think that's right, even though I would struggle to say which one of them's the better actor. But I agree with you that if an alternate world happened where Michael Keaton was in Sleepless in Seattle, I'd be like, I think that works. I don't think Tom Hanks could be Batman.
No, of course
I don't
not.
Think Keaton could do... Oh, no, he could probably do...
I'd probably prefer Tom Hanks as an actor.
Could Keaton
like
do
Michael
Forrest
Keaton.
Gump?
No. That's it. See, Keaton could not do Forrest.
There's not
Gump.
Much goodwill and charm.
Yes.
Tom Hanks is always likable.
Tom Hanks is more transformative, I think, in a way where you're still a real person. Michael Keaton's more transformative in the way where he becomes a cartoon character.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he
much
can be
swings.
Beetlejuice. He can be et cetera, et cetera. He can be Jack Frost. You remember Jack Frost? That was a movie.
Yeah.
He was Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't like Keaton and you don't think Nicholson's
I
a
think
particularly
you've
Joker.
Got you've got Billy Dee Williams brought in as a name as Harvey Dent.
I forgot
again,
Billy Dee was in this.
Again,
bad.
It's
just
funny.
Just what are they doing?
Yeah.
Gordon Commissioner is such a vital role.
But here's the
Gordon
thing,
Commissioner? Did I just say
yeah,
that?
He's
you said
Commissioner.
Gordon Commissioner.
Yeah, Commissioner
like,
of Gordon.
That's like when Donald Trump called the head of Apple Tim Apple. Gordon Commissioner.
Sorry, Commissioner Gordon. Is undercooked, underutilized, miscast, just why bother?
But he was, he hasn't. He's not always a big feature in the comics, and in the three films after this, the Schumacher ones and stuff.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon isn't a thing.
No.
Gary Oldman and Christopher Nolan made Commissioner Gordon a thing.
Yeah, no, that's
so
right.
So we have such a lens that you just have to wipe it away because it's Batman's first run on screen and he's got the Joker.
Yeah.
You're like, well, why would you start there? You never think to start with the Joker.
Yeah.
And those films sort of got.
But also the whole thing is like, okay, so one, we've got now they've decided to go, fuck it, the Joker's the reason that Bruce's parents are killed. Two, Batman just doesn't have a no-kill rule because he literally straight up tries to murder Jack Napier and all of his goons in Axis Chemicals. He blows up bombs.
Yeah, but he kills a lot
of people in this movie.
You like Ben Affleck's Batman.
Now, I knew you were going to bring that up because he and Snyder.
Of course I am.
No, but Snyder.
It just looked like Marcus was going to bring out a chart or something. Yeah. And I was prepared
in terms of kill count.
Yeah, no, Snyder very much said that his version of this was intentionally done that way because at this point we've already had the Killing Joke. We've already had this is jaded. Rules don't apply anymore. Bruce Wayne.
And Tim Burton can't have his own reasoning.
Yeah, but we've established that this is the first time he's meeting the Joker. Like, this is early days in the canon sort of universe of an established IP that they've gone, like the idea, let's just do whatever we want with it. It doesn't matter. So I want to know, longevity of this is.
I'm going to disagree with you because I think Tim Burton has gone, well, we've had the TV show, we've had the comic books, but now it's time for the adult film.
Oh, that TV show, sorry.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's time for the grown-up version of it.
Yeah.
Where he kills, where he's taking retribution and revenge for the guy who killed his parents. I don't like that Jack Napier's the killer and I don't like the casting of the young Jack Napier.
Oh, I think it's amazing. It's terrible. You don't like
I hate
that?
It so much.
The second he steps out of the shadow, I'm like, I don't know how he's doing that face. Like, that is so. You really don't like that?
I hate it. I thought it was really poor.
Yeah. Oh, wow. God.
They literally could have just got Jack Nicholson.
That would have been a swing.
Put a backwards cap on him.
Honestly.
Hello, fellow kids.
He looks nothing like Jack Nicholson. Anyway, this is beside the point.
I think he carried the energy well. Go on.
I liked Tim Burton's swing at it. I don't agree with that change, but I'm okay with the fact that it's a Batman revenge story and he figures out it's Jack Napier and he's going to kill him. I'm okay with that.
I think it's...
And I'm okay with the killing along the way.
I'm semi with Marcus that if he doesn't kill anyone the whole film and then he's like, I'm going to kill you to Jack Napier, that does have more meaning to it because he's like, I don't kill people, but you I'm going to kill.
Yeah.
It does feel a little just kind
but then
of incidental
you'd be like,
that he just kills a bunch of people. And I was kind of like,
he kills people at this. Then it's the same as the end of The Dark Knight. You're like, no, he shouldn't kill. And then when he drops Heath Ledger, the Joker, you go, oh, you shouldn't have done that because you don't kill, right? You're better than that.
Yeah.
If you have that rule, you can't break it.
But he... Doesn't.
He doesn't kill him.
No.
He catches
That's
him.
Why you have exactly. that moment in, yeah. yes, The Dark Knight, where it's like he's yes. not going to let him die.
Sorry, I thought you were saying he did drop and kill him. Yeah. Look.
Also, can I just quickly go into the last 20 minutes where Kim Basinger and Jack Nicholson are slow dancing on the roof?
That's a bit much.
I was super
into everything that was happening in the last act of the film, and once it became Batman up there and Jack Nicholson just dancing with her for 20 minutes.
Way
I was like, no.
Batman's gadgets and he can't fly. Like, he's so useless as Batman. He's such a...
Yeah, again, I'm okay with that because it's early days. Like, they haven't thought about, what tech can he have? I hated that slow ending. And then Batman's finding the goon downstairs, who we've never seen. Who's that? Why isn't he having a fist fight with the Joker? Or because of course he can't, because Jack Nicholson can't fight, right? So that's anticlimactic in the same way.
No, I like that.
And stupid, I hate it. And then Jack Nicholson just falls off the roof.
Mm.
Batman doesn't do anything.
No.
The gargoyle catches him on the thing and then he falls and he eventually lets go. It's so anticlimactic and slow and there's no Batman made the decision. Batman made this happen. Really?
Everything's by weird incidents.
Well,
and
no,
chance.
Batman. Are you saying how Nicholson died. He hooks him. That's the reason.
Yeah, but that's not a definitive action. It doesn't feel like wow, Batman got him.
That's just pretty definitive. He would have not died if that hadn't happened. Like
yes.
that was the
Thomas,
consequence. Of
you
that
see
action.
My point. I know what you're doing. You
know,
see
okay,
my point. Though.
I know what you're saying. That he didn't physically push him.
And there's no retribution. Like, if you kill my parents, you better die now. Like, Again, that there's no payoff scene. That's a good line. You better
die. You know what is
now.
A good line is when he's like, you kill my parents, I'm going to kill you. And Jack Nicholson's like, so what's this? I make you and then you kill me? How that's not mature. That's not fair. Like, he's just arguing with him like, this where does this end? Like, yeah. That's not a good idea. I find Nicholson holding on to the ladder and slowly having to let go horrifying. Like, and I did as a child. Mm. By the way, you mentioned nostalgia before. Mm. I vaguely remember this as a kid. I watched it once as a teenager. Didn't like it that much.
I've watched Batman and Robin a lot.
A lot. A lot. I've seen that movie a lot. Yeah. I think I saw this once or twice as a kid. Once as a teenager, didn't like it.
You're a Bat Nipples boy.
I love the Bat Nipples. I'm shocked that.
I like Clooney as Batman.
See, he's not a terrible Bruce Wayne.
Batman and Robin, is that Kilmer or Clooney?
That's Batman Forever is Kilmer, isn't it? And then Batman and Robin is Clooney.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, that's right.
And then Alicia Silverstone and
Chris O'Donnell.
Christopher Lloyd.
Jack Nicholson having to let go and fall.
It doesn't feel like
it still upsets me a lot. I'm just like, oh my god, like this is. He's just like, the fuck am I gonna do? I'm gonna fall to my death.
I understand the horrifying reality of falling from a chopper at that height. I get that.
Because even once they let
I've been
the ladder,
jumping.
Once they let the ladder down and he grabs onto it, I'm like, nope. Like the last thing I would do in the
world.
You're
scared of heights, right?
I don't want to fall.
I think it's
absolutely
a pretty rational fear.
Yeah, I think that is a thing I'm not into.
Yeah.
You and I have had this conversation where you're okay with
I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of dying.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to go parachuting and skydiving.
Yeah.
But then when we're like, all right, we're going to watch The Werewolf, you're like, oh!
Yeah.
Take me bungee jumping.
I prefer real risk.
Yes, you want to real adrenaline. Almost die. Yeah. And I want to sit
next time
watch
you
movie.
Go skydiving, just hang off the plane by a ladder for a little bit and see how you feel.
I absolutely would.
I'll tie a gargoyle
no parachute.
To your foot.
No parachute.
And I'll be like, this isn't a real action. Net. So it doesn't even matter. This is happening to you. Totally.
I would be comfortable doing I would feel okay on that ladder.
Are you serious?
Okay. Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
He's not
and
serious.
I'm probably strong enough to lift that gargoyle up. Brit!
Okay, I didn't realize.
Come on!
Yeah. Within the fantasy world.
Okay, I do want to talk about, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Great
stupid
line.
Terrible line.
Great line. You're both so wrong. It's a great line.
Why does he say it?
Because
Say it once and it's fine. Don't keep saying it.
Don't make it the thing. Because why would he say it to Thomas Wayne?
Oh, go on, Tom.
But then Batman says it and
badly. Here's the thing. The deliveries are bad.
I think it's really great how he's just like, excuse me. Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? I like that.
No, because that feels like Bruce Wayne.
Yes, because he's showing him Bruce Wayne at that point because he killed his parents.
But what the fuck?
That's why he says you killed my parents. Otherwise, he'd be like, what, I killed two bats one day? Like, no, I killed Thomas Wayne. And what
my
was,
hands in the air. My hands
one
in
second.
The
before
air.
Oh, I ask, can I ask you a question?
Mar-a-Lago.
What's Martha? Martha's her name. Go on. I'd forgotten her name.
Oh, was that it? That was the question?
I was like Thomas Wayne and what's her name?
Yeah, Martha Wayne.
Martha.
Why? In what world is that a cool line to say? In the context
in
of the
way
he
world
said it.
Of the, this
what does it
now.
Mean? What does it mean?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Some cold shit to say to someone for each
No, it's not.
Them.
No, it's not.
What does Pulp Fiction, Samuel L. Jackson.
But naked on a bull in the mountains.
I agree with you. That would be a bad one.
I think it's sick.
I don't think it's as bad as Marcus maybe thinks it is. I don't think it's anywhere near as good as you think it is. And I also don't think the context of it works in the film. He says it for no reason, so to have an emotional weight to it feels silly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he hasn't said it that much, and he's killed 50 people.
But Nicholson...
If he's going, ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight, ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight, ever dance with the... Ah, my tummy going, digga, digga, digga.
You both are making arguments for things that would definitely be worse, which is you think he should say it 50 times,
yeah,
which
I'd
would
love
be
that.
Terrible.
I'd love that. Better than him laughing all the time.
It's awful. I think... Dancing the Devil with the Pale Moonlight is a great little phrase. I think it's got a nice little rhythmic, sinister quality to it. I like it as purple prose. I like it as language that exists for language's sake.
Yes.
And that Nicholson himself just goes, I don't fucking know what it means. I just say it sometimes.
Tom, I would argue that the line is pretty cool if you've written it well and in the right scene, and it's used well and it's once. It's a very cool line to have in the right moment and it just...
But then how does he find out that Nicholson shot his parents?
Because why are we using that? I just think that using that as your device to connect the two is dumb.
That's so interesting.
There's definitely
really
other
like
ways you could
movie.
Find out.
Yeah. He's a detective.
Yes, but he's not the best detective.
He's the world's best
detective.
He's the
world's
greatest, apparently. We're told that.
No.
But Frank's like, I could lift a helicopter over my head, or whatever the fuck he said.
I did say that.
One female role in this whole thing who's super undercooked, underutilized, and just wasted. It's silly. They make it almost a mockery of her in a point. I think Kim Basinger is not someone who I would go, I want to cast her in this thing. She's in there, and I went, yeah, cool. This works.
I think she looks perfect for it.
I think she's great. I think she does a fine job. Yeah. I think the character and her and Bruce Wayne is a nice...
They meet once.
Nice connection, a nice relationship.
They bang, then they fall in love, and then he reveals he's Batman. That's four events in one romantic relationship.
Yeah. I won't lie and to you and no say connection. That I think the love aspect of it works particularly well.
Mm. Or at
but
all.
In a real world setting, but I'm still in this Burton-y comic book movie that I really...
Like Jack Nicholson's face, it's not a real world.
Yeah, and I think the makeup on him is incredible, but I may be in the minority about that as well.
No, I think that's... I don't know what it was at the time.
By which I mean the prosthetics. Like, obviously the face, the colour looks good, but just the way that he's constantly got that arced thing... And you could see Nicholson fighting against it sometimes where he's trying to be upset, but he can't be. Like when he's taking my balloons and you're like, he wants to frown, but he can't frown.
It looks, and it's similar to the bat costume. It looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It looks good still, but then you try and act with it. You try and emote with it, or Batman tries to look up and he bends back entirely. It's like... Yeah. These are things that will be fixed in 20 years when the technology is better.
As you mentioned, Marcus, notoriously, he couldn't turn his head in this film. So every time he had to look, his shoulders went wherever he was looking.
The looking up is the most silly. He bends to 90 degrees backwards.
Looks very silly.
I can normally go back. Again, I grew up loving this. I loved this movie as a kid. I had all the toys, the action figures. I was obsessed. So it's not until very recently in the last couple of years where I've kind of gone, maybe from The Flash onward, I don't know. I don't think it was The Flash that caused it. I watch it now. I don't have the rose-tinted glasses that I once did with this. I look back and I go, that's a shame.
Yeah, we're thinking critically now. Like as a kid, you're just like, yeah, cool, fun, action.
And it, yes, I'm sucking the life out of the fun out of this a little bit for myself, but I just don't think it's that good.
Interesting.
I think that they – I wish we had a time machine and the right – writer or director, maybe. I don't know. I don't know where it went wrong. That's why I guess I'm trying to work out in real time where did it go wrong and how could it have been better for 89, right?
I think the writing, I feel like the last, I was in it. I was there until
I think
the
Jack Nicholson
climactic fight.
Yeah.
And then I was like, nah.
It's not the best part of the film.
Jack Nicholson gave a big performance and I just think it was too big. To the point where I couldn't take his Joker seriously, or I didn't get a version of the Joker.
Well,
that
you're
I
not want. Meant to. Why so serious? Right? Like, just. He's the Joker.
That sounds hurtful.
I have had. It's just very funny hearing you say what you've just been saying, which I think.
Can I say one thing to
you
it?
You go first.
Well, Jack Nicholson, I don't find. I've got no menace. There's no menace or danger with him, even though he's, you know, off the rails and killing everyone. Mm. I just don't find him scary. And I wish I did.
Hmm.
Sorry, Tom.
I think I do, but I agree with you that we just keep getting to this thing where it's like it doesn't translate to a real world fear of him. I would be scared of Heath Ledger's Joker in the real world, right? Hmm. I would be annoyed by Jared Leto's Joker in the real world. I would be confused by Joaquin Phoenix's. I would probably be amused by Jack Nicholson's, but I think it's because it's an amusing film. I'm amused by it largely,
but
more than I'm frightened or like thrilled by it. Although there are some sequences I do find thrilling.
But do you find yourself laughing? Are there any of the jokes that you actually go, that's brilliant?
I find his performance, and remember Lloyd, you are my number one guy. Like, I'm just like,
Bob. Not Lloyd.
I just love so much about him doing stuff like that. Every time he has a scene and he gets to do something like that, I'm really enthused by it.
There's moments where I do enjoy it.
I just love that he does
it. But I think as a majority, I think it's just, it's way off. It's too much or not enough or it's just not right.
Sure. You and I.
And this is watching back now. This is only a sudden realization because again, there's such a legacy behind Jack Nicholson being the greatest Joker of all time. And it's like, well, now that
I don't think that's true.
Now that I've seen different versions of this, even Jared Leto in the mix,
Don't.
Say what you want. No, but say what you want. But at least, I think at least Jared tried an angle of the Clown Prince that was an attempt in a very bad film.
Yeah, but that's not Jack Nicholson's fault.
Not necessarily. No, because I'm not blaming Jack Nicholson or Keaton necessarily, but I think something went wrong along the way where they really just didn't care so much about what this is based off.
So this feels like to you, you don't like it because it's not honoring the original source material.
Kinda. Versus especially as a first attempt at making this live action.
Yeah.
Why have you gone so far away from the material that you should be basing this on? Is my argument.
Yeah, no,
it's the madcap energy of Tim Burton and where he was at the time and what he wanted to bring to this.
Yeah.
You and I have had completely inverse relationships to this film because you loved it growing up and you've gone a little jaded with it as you've gotten older, and I had very little attachment to it growing up, and I'm very surprised to find that it works for me. And it may be because I didn't have that pedestal that I had it on, or at least that affinity for it. I was kind of going into it the other night like, this will probably be okay. And I was just so excited to get to see Gotham. We got to talk about Gotham. Gotham looks incredible in this film. I think it's the most, if not the best version of Gotham. Mm. It's the most original and vivid and of its piece and how it fits with the film. Mm-hmm. As much as I do like how Nolan kind of plays with Gotham in different ways across the three films.
Yeah. It's an attempt.
He's like, well, this is going to be a real city. It'll be a city you'll kind of look at it and be like, that's kind of like Chicago. Well, that kind of looks like, you know, like New York.
This is New York City with a gothic skin.
Like a German expressionist thing. It's like Metropolis. It's like a Fritz Lang movie from 100 years ago. And every fucking sequence of Batman in the Ranger, Rover? What is the flying one called?
Batplane,
sure. That would have been the easy one to go for. Yeah.
Yeah, Ranger, Rover. Don't know where.
What's those things called that are fly? The Batplane. And he's the POV shot of him going through the buildings.
Yeah.
I almost leapt out of my seat. It's how fantastic. Good some of that looks. And then he opens up the claw that he has for just this very specific event where he needs to catch a bunch of balloons.
Batwing.
Sorry, I thought it might be called something else.
Batwing.
The Batwing sequence. And then he goes up and he does the bat symbol on the moon. I was like, I can't not just smile like a dickhead at this. This is
I agree. I love that.
And then so my balloons.
I love that.
My balloons.
I don't mind if it's a bit campy and a bit comical comical, absolutely.
Yeah.
Make it the comic.
The news anchors who are slowly getting more and more disheveled because they're not using makeup, which is such a dumb joke, but they just stick with it. The fact that Joker has these little videos that he's sending in or he's broadcasting. And at one point, he pushes the mayor off the screen, so he takes over all the screens, which makes no sense at all, but it's so funny.
Because that's just the control room.
Yeah, it's like not the live broadcast. At home, no one would be like, oh, no, my second screen. Like,
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, sorry.
Can we do MVP?
MVP.
So I think because of what we're talking about, I would like to give MVP purely for the visual representation of this to Anton Furst and to Tim Burton.
So Anton Furst is the art director?
Correct.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And I think that they've just nailed the aesthetic of this, and that's my favourite part of this because that is a living, breathing, believable, comic-based Gotham that they clearly did the research on to get the feel of, and they've done some amazing world-building there. And I just feel that the undercooked, very shallow sort of story – characters, everything in it just didn't hit the mark.
But,
So that's my MVP.
That's a good MVP. Sorry. I don't know what I was trying to say there. I love the scene at the start where you think it's about to be the Wayne parent death.
God, it's such a good misdirect.
And it's just.
It got me again. Mugging. I've seen this movie before and I was like, oh, we're going to see this. And then I realized, fuck, it's not them.
Yeah. But then you do see the parents' death. Awful stuff. It's good. Like, it looks so good.
Is
then
your MVP?
That scene. Michael Keaton is my MVP.
Ah, okay.
I love him.
He's very good.
Sure.
I love him.
I would say I'd probably throw in with Marcus, but Nicholson would be my performance that I think, really elevates the film, gives it much of its iconography.
Yeah.
And just a weird sort of kind of like vibrating test tube of just a performance that's going to crack and you think it's going to go wrong and it never does for me. Mm. I understand how it doesn't always work, but and yes, the last sequence where he's dancing with Vicky Vale, but then it gets me back. Once he tries to punch Batman and breaks his head, I'm like, God, I'm so in.
There's so many good moments.
Even Vicky Vale's little buddy journalist dude, like,
oh yeah, he's good. Thing. What's that actor's name?
He's fine. He pops up a lot in the 80s.
He's a bit of fun.
He's
kind of good.
But they don't really give a lot for him. Other than being like,
I like that.
What would they?
He's kind of cuck Michael Keaton. Like, you kind of stand them next to each other and you're like, Chinless is going to be the journalist.
Yeah.
And we'll go ahead and give Michael Keaton
that's
Batman.
So funny. Frank, do you want to talk about Prince's soundtrack on this? We haven't really talked about
the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Let's trash some art.
Let's trash some Batman.
I love Prince. This is not his best work. And it doesn't make a lot of sense in the movie.
Apparently, he wrote a lot of songs. And I think
Prince is he's prolific in his songwriting.
And I think I'm not saying like this Prince
you've
guy
heard
apparently
Purple, you've
wrote,
heard Purple Rain,
wrote
right?
a lot of albums. Yeah, Sign of the Times. Wrote a lot for the movie. And they were like, yeah, we're gonna put like two in. So the song I love is the one playing during the parade, where you just get the close up on the float and just the doom 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 doom. Like that is so weirdly like menacing and triumphant in a way I really enjoy.
If I had to choose, the float and the parade is a far better choice than the art gallery stuff. The art gallery stuff is
so boring.
It's just dumb and pointless.
And it's like, again, this could be a sign of the times of things were slower back then. You had long takes and you just let the actors do some stuff, right? Mm. I don't think the actors are doing a bad job. I don't think the concept of it is bad, but I just find Jack Nicholson doing the dancing lady and then pushing it over and then just painting on top of painting. It's like, I don't find it that funny or entertaining.
Yeah.
And I'm like, give me something that I like. I want to think you're funny.
The parade's cool. And again, they could have utilized this as like, okay, so Napier's got his goons, he's got his following, he's starting to leave an imprint on this city now. He's like,
but none of which we sort of knew about or you don't see it.
It just happens out of nowhere.
Same with the killing gas and the smiling disease, whatever he gives them. What I thought was going to be fantastic is you see Jack Nicholson cutting out all the magazines and doing all the arts and craft, which I was like, oh, that's so good. You never see that before. And then he's made laughing gas that kills you?
I don't mean to compare because I was trying to avoid doing this, but when Heath Ledger's Joker does the "Do I look like a guy with a plan?" like, right? That's kind of, you kind of almost just need that line.
It's like a misdirect
in this, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas
in this,
you're kind of like, so what is your plan?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Oh, you don't have one. Well,
you want to
tell us that or show
he
us.
He wants
that or
to kill Batman. He wants to kill everyone in the city.
So have a parade.
Yeah, and poison them. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But where's the motivation, I guess?
If he's being the anarchist here, if he's being the chaotic sower of destruction, whatever he's trying to do, it's just not very clear.
And we've seen him at the start, right, being the number two to Jack Valance.
Yeah.
Palance.
Holly Valance.
That is quite a pull.
Fantastic.
What was Holly Valance in?
Neighbours. Yeah. And she did a great song called
Hips Don't Lie.
We'll probably just cut all that out because
it's funny.
Dead or Alive, you remember that movie?
She's not. She's alive. She's alive. She's doing okay.
Yeah. You don't need to.
You did need to.
Jack Palance is the seed, and then you see Jack Napier, Jack Nicholson. So many Jacks. Is not like he wants to be leading the gang, whatever it is. You kind of like, okay, he doesn't like him. He's going to kill him. All right, and then he sends him on that suicide mission, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, why does he? Why do we care? Why do we care? And why does Jack Napier want to then come back and
well, this is the they're take trying over to give him city. An origin story. Like, how do we get the Joker? He falls in a vat of
well, this is what happens in the
he's
Killing
crazy.
Joke.
Crazy, you know. But almost every version of the Joker, we just go, he's crazy. You don't know why he does what he wants to do.
Yeah, but in this, they try to give him something, but it doesn't really work.
I don't know if I agree that his intentions don't make sense because I don't think he has any, and I think I bring that to the Joker. But I also don't disagree with you guys that if someone was like, explain scene to scene the plot of this movie and the Joker's scheme, I'd be like, oh, I can't really remember. Like, he does some stuff with makeup and then he wants to poison everyone, and there's an it's a bit whatever. Like, it just it's
I just feel like you're proving our point.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with you that his intentions don't matter is my point, but I agree with you guys that the way he goes about it, I don't think is particularly like coherent in the film. It doesn't bother me too much, but I agree with you that I'm like, yeah, he does this and then he does that, and it's scene to scene to scene. It's a vibe, right?
Because in The Killing Joke, which is what Tim Burton has claimed, like I was so inspired by The Killing Joke, the character of the Joker is this failed comedian, right? Goes and then gets hooked on a crime job because he's like so desperate for money and he's just had a young baby and blah, blah, blah. Falls in the vat of acid. And then you see his descent into madness much more vividly. He loses his family and it just, there's things that tip him over the edge and you see it. Whereas Jack Nicholson's descent into madness is he wakes
Batman
up.
Batman made me fall into some makeup.
Yeah. But then he wakes up from surgery.
Yeah,
and starts laughing, and you're like,
"Yeah,
what happened? What else happened? What just like
the chemicals, the crazy chemicals? It was a crazy factory.
You can't tell me that Tim Burton rightly took inspiration from The Killing Joke.
Yeah,
he says he did, but
of course he did.
I believe you saying that. I just don't believe that he did.
He got the falling in the vat of acid. That's like all you need.
That
right?
Comic book is notoriously like one of the darkest things. Like, what's her name? What's Gordon's daughter?
Barbara.
She gets like paralyzed, right?
Yeah.
I think we've even talked about this on the pod before. Like, Alan Moore has come out in the years since and been like, I don't know if I really.
It's a bit.
I don't really know why I wrote that.
For
I don't
the sake
know
of
if
being
it's like
dark.
Thematically interesting or it has a lot to say. But it is known for being dark. It's one of the few Batman comics I have read.
But I think.
And I agree that it's not really. You can't kind of line it up with this Batman. Mm. I don't see it as a one to one, right?
Not a chance. But the Joker origin in that is at least, I think, earned.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Heath Ledger's Joker is you don't know where
they
he's
dispense
from.
With it. They're just like, you want to know how I got these scars, right?
No, but they don't dispense with it. They toy with it.
Sure.
They make it
that's
a whole
a good way
thing.
Of, that's a really good way of putting it. That's one of the
and
smartest
it's so
things you've ever
intriguing.
Said.
Oh, well, I'll stop now.
I knew that compliment was going to fuck you up.
Can you tell me, is it Michael Goff as Alfred?
Yeah.
So this is our Alfred all the way through as well, which is kind of the funniest part.
Good Alfred.
They just
great
keep
Alfred.
Using the same.
Good Alfred.
He is, and it's a shame that they don't really ever explore his military background and you get a lot more of a grizzled. They do this now with Alfred.
Yeah,
they've really explored the character, but at the moment he's just bumbling butler, sidekick, whatever.
Not
just
bumbling, he's on it.
He's just,
except for bringing Kim Basinger into the Batcave accidentally. Oh, sorry, sir, I didn't realize you were
but in he's kind of like very effete. He's not particularly like, you don't get the notion that this guy was a...
No. My left foot.
This guy was like a Navy SEAL or something.
Here's
like.
The other thing too, with Batman, I think my biggest grievance is that we don't get the world's best detective version, and we don't also get the grizzled brooding brute. Thank you. I don't get either version of Batman that's accurate to any version of him in the comics or outside of that either. It's just sort of in limbo almost of a decision being made as to what Batman we're getting here.
Can't it be its own thing?
It's its own thing. I think it's a pop art Andy Warhol version, right?
You don't have to like it.
Tim Burton version, for lack of a better word. But it is, I do think it's inspired by that idea of...
But he's not overly competent in kind of anything, really. Like he's
Keaton.
Sort of okay. He's sort of, no, this version of Batman, he's kind of like... Yeah. Okay at a bunch of things, but he's not really the best at something or really good at something.
What does he do that's mid-range? Like,
he's not a very good Bruce Wayne.
Oh, you mean
in terms of playboy billionaire? I think he's not very good with the whole love interest thing. He's not very good as a detective, and he's not very good as a fighter.
I mean, he comes There's out nothing. The other side of it having defeated every foe he faces. Like, he has a couple of obstacles.
Then this
Who
is more of a criticism
that,
of how bad they must be. Yeah.
Who knew that Joker had an enormous, like, what is it? He's got like a magnum in his pants.
See, oh,
the
magnum gun. Love that gun.
Fuck, I love that gun.
And he
shortens it when he's threatening Bale.
Imagine trying to hold it. You'd be like, I'm just going to aim.
But that to me at least is in line with the Joker's love of props.
But he's not. He's love so, he's goofy for half of it and then he's so.
Again,
you know,
pick a lane.
Pick a lane.
Why can't it be both?
You're just going to come up with excuses as to why it's justified. That's all.
You mean I'm going to give you reasons why I think it's good?
Speaking of reasons why you think it's good, is there anything in the pantry?
We're out of impasse.
We could very quickly do a pantry.
We better be very quick.
All right, real quick.
The butler in a pantry with a mic.
Quick version.
The butler's pantry.
I think this movie broke Jack Nicholson. Thank you and good night. That's basically my main thing.
Well, now I want to hear about it.
Well, don't you think
you've got me intrigued?
Don't you think his entire career was building to being this? And it, even though at the time it must have seemed wild, it now kind of feels inevitable that Jack Nicholson was going to do this sort of performance, this elevated, like, you know, beyond the realm of a proper and restrained and screen performance, this massive, oversized villain. And then almost every performance he gave after this, there's a little bit of Joker in it. You kind of can't get away from whether it's Departed, whether it's As Good As It Gets, whether it's anger fucking management.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Hot take, I think that if you get Cuckoo's Nest Nicholson as the Joker, that's far more interesting.
I think anger management.
I said over easy.
Now, I would have loved.
Now, why did I throw my eggs?
The Cuckoo's Nest
version.
Because
I refused to spoon with you last night.
God, so we both watched that a lot as kids. I feel pretty. Sorry, go on, Marcus.
No, the Cuckoo's Nest version of him would be far more terrifying or scary or unpredictable in terms of the maniacal Joker that I want.
There's something there.
Yeah, he's a lot in that movie.
He's great in that.
I'm trying to remember his character's name. He plays a Jack in this and he's also a Jack in The Shining. I suppose The Shining is a big precursor for this as well, for Nicholson.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to look at the trajectory from his career because we were saying earlier Keaton could have been a Tom Hanks type in a different world. And
can you imagine the Joker on that typewriter in The Shining? Like,
he's just writing ha 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 over and over.
I think there's been
that's very killing joke.
Yes.
There's better versions of the Joker, Jack Nicholson playing the Joker in his other films.
It's an interesting take. I really like his Joker.
Even in The Departed with the gun at the table.
I mean, he is...
God.
He is actually channeling Lucifer in that film. Like, I don't think I've ever seen someone play Satan more
convincingly. He plays the real Irish psychopath with that kill switch. You're just like, what's going to happen here? The unpredictability of him.
Don't laugh! The same reality TV!
I'm convinced that we got the worst version of Nicholson in this film. God, for that
that's
character.
A really good point. That's a really good point. And on that,
I disagree, but it's an interesting
point. And on that, is anyone going to throw anything in?
I'm going to stick on an 8. I think I spent a lot of time defending this, but probably slightly more, no, a lot more than I expected to. Mm. But I had a good time. I had a really good time.
Yeah, good.
Frank,
I'm glad.
Did I get you?
Oh, no.
Did Tom get you?
I think Tom got me.
Damn it.
I think Michael Keaton got me, but I think you've justified a bit of Jack Nicholson's
shit fuckery.
Yeah. No,
for the better.
Yeah.
Ah.
And the design.
The design.
It's just that last scene, but it's like you can still enjoy 80% of a movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, 6.
Throw in the pan.
From 5.5 to 6. Okay. All right. Marcus, anything?
I don't know. No? I thought I had a good case.
You had a really good case.
Mm. I'm jail with you.
I'm sad.
But I think you're self-jailed. Hanging on to the comics.
That's okay, buddy.
More than I am.
A little bit.
And there's always next Christmas. Maybe that'll be a happy one.
I kind of wish I didn't rewatch it and do this to myself.
Oh, my God.
It's all right. We can always go back to Batman and Robin.
I'll feel better about it after
you
that.
You will.
Yeah. We could always use the memory stick we've got in the corner and erase it for you.
Bam! PlayStation.
It's a hammer.
Threw in the pow!
Thanks for listening to Throw in the Pow. Sorry about Thomas. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
That was Batman 1989.
My name's Tom.
Give us an Instagram, throw in the pal, or throwinthepal@gmail.com. Let us know your favorite Batman.
Please don't hate me for this, listeners. I know I will get a lot of hate for it.
Yeah, send some hate. That'll be funny.
No! Throw in the pal.